You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm. Sam Norris, John Babb and Rory DeLaghi, the team in the studio. We've got racing at Ayr and Cartmel throughout the afternoon. Beverley and Windsor in the evening on the domestic front. And racing over in Ireland as well at Ballinrobe. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Excellent Saturday and looking forward to an interesting week.
Yeah, it's a good week coming up, but we had a big weekend, John, and myself and you were in the studio on Saturday, so we'll just have a little bit of a look back to some of the highlights from a superb Saturday. The runner and the jockey that are claiming their headlines are Sea of Class and James Doyle, who won the Irish Oaks, of course. An ice-cool ride from James Doyle. Never picked up the stick, really, and timed it to absolute perfection. It just oozed class and confidence, didn't it?
Oh, tremendous display, yes. And what really interested me and fascinated me, actually, was some Paddy Aspel's preview of the race. He was really keen on Sea of Class winning it, but he actually went through the race sort of from A to Z exactly as James Doyle actually rode it. He said she's drawn seven of seven. James had plenty of time to just tuck Sea of Class away at the back, and he'll just coax her along and then gradually make the ground and accelerate inside the final half furlong and put her nose in front close home. And that is exactly what happened. Paddy was quite certain, and I think he was absolutely correct, that James Doyle knew that Sea of Class was actually travelling remarkably well throughout the race, and that the momentum was there, and that she would produce at the end. And once he switched her out into the centre of the course, she picked up marvellously well. And I always thought she was going to get there. I felt a bit for Donnacher and Forever Together, yeah, because you know, she'd had run a tremendous race. I believe goes to the Yorkshire Oaks. Sea of Class, very well named, of course, and beautifully bred. And exactly what's going to happen to her is question mark. But she looks of the highest possible class, and the jockey was absolutely perfect.
Sea of Class, the winner of the Irish Oaks, beats Forever Together and Mary Tudor on Saturday evening there. Good performance to go on and score a real impressive winner there in the shape of Sea of Class. Obviously plenty of other top class stuff on the Saturday, John. What else caught your eye?
Well, Newbury, I thought, caught the eye. I was quite pleased with what happened at Newbury. I always thought Richard Farhead got a trump card to play in the super sprint, and I hoped it was going to be Ginger Nut, and for once it turned out to be Ginger Nut. Ridden for the first time by Harry Bentley, very well weighted. I had noted Ginger Nut staying on nicely, I thought, at Nottingham. He seemed to have the right attitude, doing all the best work in the closing stages. So that was good. But the race which really caught my eye at Newbury, Mark, was the first running of the JLT Cup, the long-distance race, the second one on the card, over 2 miles. And it was won by Stratum pretty well. Of course, you've got to say connections of Stratum, the Mullins camp. They're almost invincible in this sort of race. But the horse who caught my eye was Nakita. Now, I thought Nakita ran immense race bearing in mind that after coming back from Australia, where Nikita ran a tremendously good race to finish fifth in the Melbourne Cup, obviously been given a very long rest over the winter and was probably not at peak form for either the Chester Cup or the Northumberland Plate, but made steady progress, wearing a tongue tie too for the first time yesterday at Newbury, and finished fifth in the end. I think that was a tremendously good trial for the race that Nikita won last year, which is the Ebor, and I suggest that Nikita will be absolutely spot on for York next month.
Yes, yeah, should come on for that, shouldn't he? Stratum, the winner of that JL Cup, first ever running of that, went the way of Stratum for Willie Mullins and Robert Winston.
Mention Robert Winston. Great to see him, you know, with some good rides in top-class races. And he's always been a very good jockey, but he seems to have gone out of fashion slightly over the last couple of seasons. But when the questions are asked, Robert Winston will answer them.
You mentioned Nikita in there, John, trained by Ian Jardine, of course. He did have a birthday winner on the day, and it was your Knapp as well at a good price. Lingano Felice, 8-1 winner of the summer handicap hurdle, the listed race at Market Raisin. So I said it to you on air yesterday. Well done again, because that's it's a good Knapp, that.
Yes, a number of other people seem to catch on just before the start, because, you know, in the morning it had been an easy 12-1 to back and was still a double figure price until literally about 3 minutes before the off, and then all of a sudden Lingano Felice began to gain attraction in the betting ring and actually went off at 8-1. But this is a horse with a future, you know, Mark. Ian Jardine and Ross have done amazingly well, Moss Chapman with the horse. He's immense manimal, great big sort of long striding horse who's got a bit of form on the flat. And he was a little bit sort of hesitant over hurdles to begin with. But when he came to Market Raisin going right-handed, he was tremendous. Two course and distance wins. And yesterday at Market Raisin, he never put a foot wrong. And there were some very decent horses in the contest. Fair Mountain was, you know, heavily tipped up to win for the Skelton camp. And there were others as well. But not only did Lingano Felice hurdle so much better than he had done previously, but he galloped all the way to the line. My goodness, he'll make a chaser if he remains fit and doesn't get hurt. I say that because I would never spend a lot of money buying a jumper simply because of the injury sort of likelihood. And you've got to be really tough, but he looks a big, strong horse, and I'd love to see him run and over fences, you know, next season.
At Market Raisin, we also saw Peter Bowen continue his good record in the summer plate. More Books, the winner, beat Too Many Diamonds and Shantou Village. He knows how to win that race, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And that the horses have been in tremendous form over the past sort of 6 weeks or so. Peter Burns got them winners all over the place. And I thought More Bucks would run well. I was impressed with him when he won at Perth. And so it was a good ride by Sean, wasn't it? Because he appeared to lose his reins after the last, but still managed to get More Bucks home, hands and heels. And it's a deserved winner. He jumped well throughout, and I think he can improve. The Bowens, as I say, in great shape. They had other winners. They had winners at Cartmel. And Cartmel, I was convinced it was going to be Brian Hughes' day at the Lake District course. He had, what I thought, six really good rides, and the poor man didn't have a single winner.
Frustrating day for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, a terrible shaking day. You know, there was perhaps a significant defeat in the very first race. He was riding, of course he will, who both ran and hurdled really well and looked as though he was going to win. But lurking in the background was that man, Richard Johnson. And sure enough, he produced his mount with a withering run inside the last furlong and got up to beat poor Brian on a half a length or so. And he was very unlucky not to win the feature race, the William Hill-sponsored Crystal Cartmel Cup on Volcanic, who was well clear at the last flight. Mind you, that race was won by Lorcan Murter in the end, and I like to see him have winners because he's a very decent conditional jockey.
Yeah, he won it on William of Orange for Donald McCain, who's ticking along with the winners. Good day over in Ireland as well for the UK runners. Just want to quickly mention that because there were four UK winners on the card at the Curragh, including David O'Mara having some success with Danny Tudhope as well, which we were talking about on air last night, weren't we, on Saturday night, that they've bounced back from a bit of a tricky spell, really.
Yes, absolutely right. And they seem to be going very well now. Inti Saab was the winner for Danny Tudhope, a favourite sprinter of mine. Whenever I support, ran well but without winning. Of course, I didn't note that he was actually running at the Curragh yesterday until he'd won. But David O'Mara, yeah, you can't keep a good man down.
Let's leave that there. That's a bit of a look back at Saturday's action then, and we're going to turn our attention now to Monday because Lord Budden has had a look at a couple of races for us. The first of them is back at Cartmel. We've got the 4:25 that we're going to look at here on the Cartmel card. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and one furlong. Only four runners take part here, and when you see these four runner races, sometimes you can brush over them a little bit, but this is actually quite an interesting little race, isn't it, John?
It is. It is really quite an interesting little race, and we've got horses with Cartmel form, and we've got an interesting Jimmy Moffitt horse too. Only four, as you say, but there could be quite a strong pace here because Wisty will almost certainly try to go out and make all. Won this race last year, and is a dark grey trained by Martin Tudhunter. Loves to dominate. He wasn't able to dominate at Cartmel last time out. He was taken on for the lead and sulked, and then began to make mistakes and drop well away. But he is much better than that, Wisty, and I think Martin Tudhunter will have sharpened him up since that contest. Goes well on top of the ground too, so he's likely to set a very good pace. Then we have Oliver's Gold in the race as well, and you might think that Oliver's Gold is perhaps likely to be booked for 4 for 4, but not necessarily so. Was fourth at Uttoxeter last time, behind Champagne at Tara, unseated the time before that, but was a good second at Cartmel three outings ago, and this horse has Cartmel form, and he also comes late, so that if there is a very strong pace and then Wisty begins to weaken towards the end, Oliver's Gold could be there to pick up the pieces. The question mark horse is Razor Spark, and Donald McCain and Brian Hughes will bounce back undoubtedly after an unfortunate day at Cartmel on Saturday. And this horse is a useful prospect, won a beginner's chase and at Cartmel. So it's got form, it's got Brian Hughes in the saddle. Donald McCain's horse is coming in to a really quite a decent bit of form. And then we have the interesting horse of the whole lot, which is Nicholas Chauvin, trained by Jimmy Moffitt. Now, Jimmy Moffitt, of course, Mr. Cartmel, had a very poor start to the summer, well, to the year, really. His horses had not been right, but he had a winner at the previous Cartmel meeting with Golden Town, and he would have won, undoubtedly, with Volcanic on Saturday. Now, Nicholas Chauvin represents Jimmy Moffitt's stable. He was originally with Nicky Henderson, and Simon Phillip, who heads the syndicate for Might Bite, also headed the syndicate with Nicholas Chauvin. He was responsible for selling Nicholas Chauvin at the Doncaster sales. Jimmy bought him, and Simon Phillip said, "Now look, this horse goes 2 miles on top of the ground, and the faster the ground, the better he will go." Well, actual fact, he was run in conditions that were generally good to soft in the first sort of campaign for Jimmy Moffitt. But he did win at Wetherby. And who rode him at Wetherby? Richard Johnson. Who rides him at Cartwell tomorrow? Richard Johnson. And the ground will be very fast. I think that Nicholas Chauvin can come out on top in this race.
We get a decent enough price about him as well. May well, on recent form, be one of the bigger price runners in the race, John. So
I think it will be,
yeah,
yes.
Maybe a bit of value in Nicholas Chauvin then in that 4.25. I like the angle. The 5.10 at Ayr is where we're heading next. An apprentice handicap over a mile and five furlongs. A field of eight going to post for this one. I suppose more than normal, we'd say to you, John, which horses and which jockeys have caught your eye in this lineup?
Yes, well, that's an interesting question. We've got, it is Andy Breslin, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he has created quite an impression recently across the border. He rides particularly for our Mike Smith, the local trainer at Ayr, having a very good summer indeed. So he's there. Josh Quinn is also riding. Rather interestingly, John Quinn has got a horse who could really go quite well, who's been ridden by Sebastian Woods. Then there are one or two other, experienced apprentices in it. I like this race because it's got eight runners. It's fairly competitive, and it could be run at a pretty good pace. So going down the list, we've got Corton Ladd on top. Now, a number of Napsters went for Corton Ladd last time out when running at Ayr. I was in the studio. I also thought Corton Ladd would go well, but he was disappointing. Eventually finished quite well behind Glasses Up Weak and Tamely when headed. So I'm just not convinced that Corton Ladd is right back to the sort of form that he showed in previous seasons. Interesting horse is the Mike Smith horse. This is Acamanto. Now, Acamanto was quite a good winner at Carlisle two outings ago. He beat Regal Mirage at Carlisle. And he was second at Chester to a horse who's won again. Won yesterday, didn't he? Ben Adelid?
He did, yes. Ben Adelid, yeah.
Ben Adelid. And so the form has been boosted there. And with the stable in great shape, R. Mike Smith, of course, trains only about sort of 10, 15 miles north of Ayr. And it's very much his local track. I thought that would go pretty well. Then we have one or two others who could possibly get a hand in this. Glenbuck King, for example, who represents Lee Smith, Lee Smythe. I'm not sure which, but this horse is an Ayr winner, was off for sort of 10 months or so, but ran pretty well behind Four Kingdoms last time out, and definitely has a squeak here. And then we have Sebastian Woods and John Quinn's Clemento. Now, Clemento has been very disappointing on the flat, is still a maiden, but went to Cartmel and hurdled really well and landed quite a bit of a touch at Cartmel and comes back now to the level. So it's interesting to see how he goes. And finally, we come to the selection, which is Question of Faith, trained by Martin Todhunter, also responsible for Wistie at Cartmel, of course. And Question of Faith comes into form at this time of year. He's owned by a Cumbrian called Keith Fitzsimmons, frequent buyer of horses from Niall Hannity, incidentally. Keith Fitzsimmons has had Question of Faith together with his partner for a while now, and the mare had a tremendous summer last year and came into form at about this time of the season and ran her best race of the current campaign last time out when just mugged by Braise of Lochelsh, who came up on the blind side, so to speak, and caught Question of Faith within about 10 strides of the post. I think the mare has thrived since that race, has got an experienced apprentice on board, and Question of Faith will be the choice.
Question of Faith, then, the choice for Lord Budden. It might be her time to strike in the 5.10 at Ayr. Thank you very much, John. Been a pleasure, as always. Very best of luck, and enjoy the action on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden then. That's Monday's racing coming up. We've got Ayr and Cartmel in the afternoon, Beverley and Windsor in the evening, and Ballinrobe as well on Monday night. Sam Norris, John Babb and Rory DeLaghi, the team in the studio from 1:20 p.m. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.